know what's going to be next. I just gather my thoughts here. I'm sure there's something really good I need to say. Oh, I know what it was. So this was kind of a surprise visit from Julie, but we are consistent here in supporting her. Just every month we support her and others like her. So the easiest way for you to continue to use your assets through this church to help people like her and others around the world is just give every week. If you market missions, we can guarantee you 100% that it will go to missions, because right now our missions giving is lower than what we give away. How do we do that? Well, we give that in the regular, but from the regular budget. So whether you give in just a regular offering and it's your tithe, or if you give missions, we will continue to support missions. If you want to know more about their ministry specifically, the best way to do that is to get with them today. And also, I hope you brought some new cards, but if you didn't, the contact information is probably the same. And you just get on their mailing list, and then you'll know everything that's going on. Okay, do that with all the people that we support, and you'll be thrilled to be able to know how to pray and how to give. And this week, actually, we're going to support in a special way the Ramdans, who are coming back from Cambodia because she's having some pregnancy issues. And so because it's an emergency comeback, we're helping to pack their pantry with others and their house. And so we're going to give extra than we normally do. And that's because of your generosity. So thank you for that. I knew that I wanted to say that. All right. So it's been a while. Time begins to go fast, and it's hard to imagine that I'm as mature aged as I am. Like all of you, we feel younger than we really are, but it's been nearly 30 years when I and my wife packed up from doing a staff. We went in as a solo pastor in a small town in southern Indiana. I believe I was 25 years old. Now, there was only one problem with that, is I had no clue what I was doing. Other than that, it was fine. The people were nice, and so what really happened for me during the first couple years of that stay was that there was a pastor who had been there for 2 years, and really he's the scapegoat, because what usually happens is after a pastor has been at a place a really long time, and this is just natural, it's not really anyone's fault, the congregation gets used to that pastor and his ways. And so when a new pastor comes in, no matter how good or bad or young or old they are, there's just different ways. And oftentimes the pastor that follows someone who's been there a long time has to take kind of that. So I came after a guy who had taken all that. And so the pastor before him, though, was there 27 years. Now, I didn't get all the, you know, the whiplash, the shock of the change that the other pastor did, but I still had some residual. And here's the way it happened. The beloved couple that was there, wonderful people, okay? And here's what, though, I would hear. His name was Reverend Walker. Reverend Walker was always visiting people. Oh, that's okay, good. I probably should visit people. Then I heard, well, Reverend Walker was always out in his garage tinkering with cars. And anytime the community kids would cut through our property because they were on our way to school, they would stop in and Reverend Walker would talk to them. He always did that. And then I heard, well, Reverend Walker was always available to the community. And he was involved in this, this, and this, and he was a teacher at the high school, and he was always involved in school stuff. Like, no wonder the other guy didn't last very long. No one can measure up to that. So I started to feel this pressure of this guy who was almost like Jesus. He was everywhere at the same time, always. And the congregation didn't mean that. They didn't mean it at all. It was mostly a compliment to him. But for me, I'm like, I got a complex. I can't be always anywhere. And finally, thank the Lord, I didn't leave because of that. I stayed 6 years, and it was a good stay. But here's what I concluded. And you need to hold on to this for just the next few minutes. The reason that they said that is because that vocabulary, that's just what we do. So if you can look backwards to someone's life, you're probably going to say the same thing, even though it's not physically possible. So for instance, I don't know what you're going to say about me one day or what my kids will say about me, and I'm afraid I'd ask my kids. But my kids might say this. He was always out doing something because I don't sit. Well, the truth is I do sit sometimes. I don't always keep moving. Some of you may say, well, he was always on his bike. I always saw him on his bike. Well, even in the summertime, if I ride every other day for an hour or so at a time, I'm not always on my bike. That's a really teeny tiny portion of my life, actually. Every other day for an hour and a half. But, oh no, he's always on his bike. Do you see how we say that? So I want you to keep that in mind as I try to just unfold just a little bit here for us this morning. And this week I didn't have as much time to apply our studies. And we're so glad that Julie could come and share. So you get a couple short devotionals here this morning. Thank you for those encouraging stories. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. You'll know what I'm saying as soon as you see it. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Do you see what I'm saying already? Basically, this is an impossible command. I want to explain to you how it can become possible. But just on the surface, if you saw this, you're like, really? Rejoice always? Pray continually? Give thanks in all circumstances? How about in Matthew chapter 5, 48, when Jesus says, be perfect? Another impossible command. In Matthew 22, 37, we know these are the two greatest commands. Love the Lord with God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Now these commands we're not to give up on. But how many, don't raise your hands. I do this to you all the time. But don't raise your hands unless you really want to make me feel better about myself. How many of you do this always? Two greatest commands. Love God with all your heart all the time. And your neighbor as yourself. Have you ever failed to love your neighbor like maybe you thought you should? Certainly. I hope I'm not the only one. And so we get to this text that says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. I wish Paul would have said, rejoice a lot, pray often, and try to be thankful. I mean, that's enough, you know? Okay, I think I can rejoice at least some. I can pray every now and then, and I can try to be thankful. But that's not what he said. And if you go back to the context, and I hope you do, there is no real explanation. He just plops it down there like you should be able to do it. Well, how do you do it? I mean, if he puts it out there like it's possible, then somehow we got to figure this out because it looks rather impossible to me. So how do we do this? How do we do this? Well, for me, if I have a goal in mind, I need to understand the goal and I need to understand the expectations. Because if I don't know the expectations, then I don't know how to even get there or if I ever get there at all. All right? So I'm going to try to help you this morning know how to apply this kind of almost impossible command. Three of them, actually. And so I want to put that verse back up there for a moment. I know it's a little out of order, but I want you to see this. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 17, and 18. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. That is not the end of the sentence. For this is God's will for you, and here's the key, in Christ. There's other verses that tell us that there are a lot of things that are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You cannot even endeavor to do these things if you're not in Christ and He in you. We have to keep that in mind for sure. To obey these impossible commands, we must have experienced a new birth so that we are in Christ and that he dwells in us, and we are to abide in him and trust in him to work through us, to progressively become conformed to his image. So let me just rather quickly walk through these three rather bullet point like commands. First of all, rejoice always. What in the world does it mean? All right, well, first of all, let me tell you this. It's not Tigger, you know, happy all the time kind of thing. It does not say be happy all the time. So just to kind of help you succinctly understand this, I have met people in the past, and you ask them, how are you doing? Oh, praise Jesus, everything's fine. As if there's something wrong with saying, you know what, I'm really struggling today. This particular command about rejoicing has very little to do with our feelings. And I will tell you that the reason I'm going into some other Bible verses is because it's the whole Bible that helps us translate these three little verses. But just think of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul wasn't always happy. He says, rejoice with those who rejoice. I think I'm out of order maybe. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And what? Mourn with those who mourn. He doesn't say go around to those who are mourning and tell them they need to feel better. Because this idea of rejoicing is not about feelings. Now it can be, and we should praise God when we're feeling well. If you had a Greek, if you could read Greek, and by the way, I don't really read it, I just kind of understand it a little bit. The shortest verse in the Greek New Testament is this one, rejoice always. In the English, we say what? Jesus wept. You see, even Jesus didn't always feel happy. So if it's not about happiness, then what is it about? Well, first of all, we must keep in mind that this setting where Paul just plops down these things about rejoicing is in a setting of persecution. And Jesus himself said in Matthew 5:11, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. There's a difference between rejoicing and enjoying. I don't know how many people enjoy persecution. But somehow we can get to the point where we can understand that rejoicing is separate from enjoying. Enjoying makes us feel good. Rejoicing is a command. It's a command. So how do we get ourselves to this point where we can rejoice always? Well, in Philippians 4:4, the Apostle Paul reminds us again, rejoice in the Lord always. And I say it again, rejoice. Notice right in the middle, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoicing always is a conscious attitude of commitment. So if I could, of contentment. So if I could reword rejoice in the Lord, I would put it this way. Develop deliberate joy. So how do you do that? First of all, you ask for help. You cannot do this on your own. And so you must walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Because joy, as almost a year ago, I walked you through the fruit of the Spirit, and one of them was joy, right? It is the characteristic of the Holy Spirit that he instills in us is joy. And so we have to ask for this. We have to do it every day. Ask for help. Number two, focus on the riches that God has freely given you in Christ. In other words, when you're going through some difficulty, there's always something to be thankful for. I mean, just think, as we said earlier in our prayer, that God is with us, that God has given us grace, that this too shall pass, that one day he's going to restore everything. And you can go on and on and on. And you can find things to rejoice, maybe not in the situation, but in the Lord. And third, this may sound a little simplistic, but the Bible says it this way, sing. If you take all the commands in the Bible and you list them, they tell me that the most often repeated command is to sing and give praise to God. You say, how does it work? Try it, and you tell me. Rejoice in the Lord. Second, God commands us to pray without ceasing. Now, let me just let you know that this without ceasing, probably in our minds, it means pray all the time. But that's not what it says. It says pray without ceasing. Without ceasing is the same kind of word that you would use if someone has a hacking cough. You know people? I mean, they just have this allergy. Cough, and then they cough again, and they cough again, but they're not coughing all the time. They're just coughing without stopping. It's the same kind of word that you would use in a military movement. So you would attack, and maybe you didn't get as far as you want, so you regroup, and you attack again, and you regroup, and you attack again until you have victory. It wasn't that you were attacking all the time, it's just that you didn't give up. So now that helps us to understand the rest of the Bible, when the Bible talks to us about our prayers should be frequent and persistent. So when it says to pray without ceasing, it doesn't necessarily mean that every word that comes out of your mouth has to be a prayer. It means that you return to prayer over and over again, and you don't stop. So like rejoicing, praying without ceasing, they're related. So how do you do that? Ask for help, number one. Ask for help. In other words, you need to come to the point where on a regular basis you acknowledge over and over again that you cannot do life on your own. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. So pray for help and pray often. I am finding that the older I get, the more help I need. The more I think I know, the more I realize I don't know. And the easier it is to ask God for help. It's like the first thing I say. I think when I was young, I thought I could do it. And now I know I can't. So I'm like, oh, good. I'm finally to the place where I can just say, Lord, I need help. So do that. Second, send up short prayers whenever you can. Does that make sense? Sometimes we don't pray because we're like, well, I didn't have enough time to prepare it, and I can't get out my journal, and I'm really not sure what to say. Just say short prayers whenever you can, whenever you think of it. You see, you're not really praying all the time. You're just praying all the time. You see the difference? I don't know if it's OCD. I know it's OCD. But I have a tendency that if there's 30 seconds in a minute, I'm going to try to find something to do. And then after 30 seconds here and 30 seconds there, and maybe by the end of the day, it's all done. I've learned that something does not have to keep my attention more than a couple minutes as long as I come back to it. Now, that's me. You guys are not that way. But see, the great thing is you can do that with prayer. I love this little story in Nehemiah. And you know it. Nehemiah is the cupbearer for the king, and here's this new for the king, and that's really, they're not really supposed to be said before the king, but the king asked him anyway, what's wrong? And Nehemiah, it says right here in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4 through 5, says, this, the king said to me, what is it you want? Then I prayed to God of heaven, and then right away it says, and I answered the king. Well, wait a minute, did you excuse yourself and go into prayer for 3 hours? No. It sounds like he either bowed his head right there on the moment, or at least in the quietness of his mind, he said a little prayer, Lord, help me when I address this king that everything will go well, and then boom, he asked the king. I like that. Pray as often as you can, little short prayers. And third, spend time with God every day. Carve out some time where it is longer. Start your day, I think, is the best thing to do. And you will find that this idea of prayer will become more and more a practice in your life. Number three, God commands us to give thanks in everything. I'm not sure I can requalify this one. I think it says give thanks in everything. So I can't exclude something from the list. So what do we do? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. The Apostle Paul says, always give thanks to God the Father for everything. So not only can I not excuse it, the Apostle Paul repeated it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you don't have to feel thankful to give thanks. So how can we develop this habit of thankfulness in every situation? First and foremost, ask for help. You get the point? But here's number one, really. You have to deepen your understanding of God's sovereignty and His goodness. We do this naturally. We see something that's not quite in balance. Something happens and it's not very good. And we look for ways to see how God is working in that. And that's okay. We should. Now, you're not always going to see, and I need to let you know, you're not always going to see what God is up to. But sometimes we can. And when we start to develop this idea that God is in control and that God is sovereign and God is working out these things for good, it gives us ground to be thankful for what God is up to. I think you know the story of Joseph. Remember that? Joseph he was sold into slavery, and then he was in jail and wrongfully accused, and on it goes. And then finally things start to turn around. Second to Potiphar, he saves the country, then he saves his family. And then you know this little verse in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, where he comes to this understanding, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. You can develop that. And when you do, you begin to be able to be thankful in all situations. Not for all situations, right? But in all situations. Second, thankfulness will be our habit when trust in God becomes our habit. Let me explain that really quick. What happens is, first you look at God's sovereignty and you begin to trust Him. And then when you begin to trust Him, thankfulness just kind of grows out of that. I want you to go ahead and put 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, and 17, and 18 back up there for a moment. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I want to close the service with just another moment of remembrance and honor for Cheryl. I can guarantee you that Cheryl had some tough days. I've shared with her some thoughts. She shared with me some things. I can guarantee you there were times of doubt. I can guarantee you there were times where she wondered what was happening. But here's what I can say. When I stand on this side and I look back, just like we did the other day at the funeral, I can say she rejoiced always. Always? Well, maybe not always. But there was a habit that showed up in her faith. Cheryl prayed continually. Well, continually? Quite a bit. We heard it. We felt it. It was written in the cards that we received. Cheryl gave thanks in all circumstances. I can't go that far. But when I look back with the language that the Bible uses, and I look back with the language that we use, I can say, yeah, thankful in all circumstances. And I heard her say, the blessing that cancer was. Did she always say that? I don't know. But did she say it? Yeah. So I can look back on someone's life, and I can say these verses were played out accurately. So will any of us ever get to 100%? I don't think so. But I think we can do better than we're doing. And we have to do it in Christ. And when we walk with Christ, then when other people look back on our lives, isn't that what we want them to say about us? It's possible. All things are possible in Christ. Would you stand with us today? Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. We thank you for your commands. They're not just thrown at us to say, okay, do your best. They're thrown at us with this idea that we can do it, only though if we walk with you on a daily basis. And we thank you that as we can do that, you get the glory and we get the praise, and those around us get the benefit. And so, Lord, pray, help us to live out these characteristics of the Spirit in our lives. Thank you for those around us who have set great examples. Well, it's our turn. Help us, Lord, to be an example of you to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.